Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Phil Klein, the former Attorney General of Kansas, has some very compelling evidence and information to show how big tech billionaires influenced this election to help benefit Joe Biden. It's compelling evidence I have not seen laid out like Phil does on this episode. You're going to really enjoy it. It's brought to you by those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support, at charliekirk.com/support. Your financial support of this program helps us stay strong and do episodes all throughout this Christmas and Thanksgiving season. Email us your questions, freedom at charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, the nation's largest conservative student organization, go to tpusa.com or join us in Palm Beach at tpusa.com/SAS. Very interesting conversation coming up with Phil Klein. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Have the best Thanksgiving and Christmas ever with Good Ranchers free hickory honey holiday ham. Every new subscription gets a Berkshire Hickory honey smoked ham for free. The Berkshire hams are 100% no antibiotics ever, 100% hormone free, and 100% born and raised in America. Hands down, the best ham you'll ever eat. Berkshire pork, which is a heritage breed, is known as the world's best pork. And the best part is 100% free with every new subscription. Sign up today and get yours before we run out. And as always, Good Ranchers is 100% American beef and chicken, and now pork. Steaks are always USDA choice and higher. Chicken is 100% all natural, no hormones added ever. Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised, and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners only with American ranches from across the U.S. to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. So go to GoodRanchers.com. That's GoodRanchers.com. It's the place to go. It's GoodRanchersOfTheNest.com. For the price of a family going out to dinner, you go to GoodRanchers.com. Use the promo code CHARLIE to save $20 off your purchase. GoodRanchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. Super thrilled to be joined today by Philip Klein, who served as the district attorney and Kansas attorney general. He is currently the director of the Amistad Project of the Thomas More Society and a professor at Liberty University. He has been investigating voter fraud for nearly 2 years. So while we're now just talking about it, he's been on the case for a while. Welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate what you do, and it's an honor to be here.
Thank you. So why don't you just give us a snapshot of where we are right now with election integrity, some of these pending lawsuits, and something we might be missing when it comes to the fight against voter fraud.
Sure. And let me start with the fact is we've had an unprecedented election with unprecedented private interference in the election process. And if I were to sum that up real quickly, Charlie, it means that America was kicked out of the counting room. You know, all these laws allow us to be inside to see how the count is done, to make sure it's done fairly. Instead, we got boarded up windows. And the shocker is we have a billionaire in the counting room. Mark Zuckerberg invested over $400 million that he funneled through charities that actually paid the election officials who are determining what ballots to count and what ballots to receive. So billionaire in, America out. And that is a strong concern. Well, moving from there, we saw unprecedented changes in the election process. We created a two-tier election system. In Democrat strongholds, for example, in Pennsylvania, they took flawed ballots. They called Democrat officials and said, go get the voter and fix these ballots. Republican strongholds, they didn't do that. They saw it as against the law. They didn't have the resources. So here you've got Democrat ballots being fixed, Republican ballots not. We go to Michigan. In Michigan, what they're actually doing in the counting center, Charlie, is let's take our military ballots. It's a good example. Our military ballots are mailed well before the regular ballots are printed. So they're on a different kind of paper, and they can't be read by the machines. And so what they did in Detroit is they stacked them all up, and they got five people called inspectors around a table, and then they cast the vote for our military. They completed a pristine ballot saying, I think this person voted for Biden. They fill it out, they cast it, and counted it. The law requires a Republican in that place to be able to see this. But what they did is they said, well, the law says a Republican needs to be in the place. So what they did is they moved it from the small five people at a table room, and they created a giant warehouse with 134 tables. They put the Republican in the cheap seats so he couldn't see or she couldn't see anything. They said a Republican's in the place, and only Democrats counted and actually cast votes for third parties who aren't there. This happened in all these urban core centers where Zuckerberg money flowed. And on top of that, you've got, we call them Zucker boxes. They're the drop boxes that popped up in all the cities where you could go by and drop your ballot in. Those drop boxes were not monitored. They weren't watched. We have no logs of who picked up the ballots and how they brought them into the center. And we have evidence that third parties gained access to the poll books so that they could alter ballots. So there's a lot of evidence out there. There's a lot of litigation still to go. But quite honestly, we need to get to the bottom of this because this undermined the integrity of the 2020 election, and we can't let it happen again.
So it's really hard for certain people to comprehend the enormity of what you're saying. Who was actually calling the shots? Because there's consistencies between Atlanta and Philadelphia and Detroit and Milwaukee. Who is actually behind a lot of these counties acting in such similar fashions?
Well, first of all, if you're going to do something like that, you got to fund it. And the $400 million, you know, generally the person with the money kind of calls the shots, or at least is in on the inside, and his money matches what the federal government spent on elections. But I think a lot of it is if you go to March of 2020, you have a gentleman by the name of David Plouffe. He was President Obama's campaign manager. He's now working for Mark Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan. And he writes a book called The Citizen's Guide to Defeating Donald Trump. And in that book, he says it's going to be a block by block street fight to turn out the vote in the urban core. So what he does is he then, I believe, starts with this plan, and he creates or helps a group that is also Obama activist that formed a group called Center for Tech and Civic Life. They start reaching out to cities, and they're the flow of money. So I think the brain is right in there that helped orchestrate this. And it honestly doesn't take very many people. You've got some blue state secretaries of state who allowed for people to be able to register people in our poll books. And if I can register you, I can register other people as well. So you can create voters that don't really exist and get them to vote. And we're seeing evidence of that. So, but I put it right with David Plouffe and the operators of the Center for Tech and Civic Life. And some of what they did is not necessarily illegal, but it violates election law. It's not a crime, but it violates election laws.
So, Phil, can you help explain what the Center for Civic Life is, for Center for Tech and Civic Life? Who funded it? Who founded it? What was their direct involvement? A lot of people are completely unaware of this. Can you just go through as much detail as you have of their point of origination, their motives, their leadership, and how much money they actually put behind their effort?
Yeah, they were formed in around 2012, and they started small. And actually, for all these years between 2012 and now, they were running about $750,000 a year. And they were formed by three Obama activists whose social media is full of expletives as it relates to the president. And they broke off from a partisan organization. Now, they started reaching out to Democrat mayors in Democrat cities in about March, at the same time that blue state governors were doing lockdowns and they were announcing they were going to prevent in-person voting, putting emphasis on mail-in voting. And Charlie, you know that Republicans prefer to vote in person, Democrats prefer to vote by mail. So this was a shutting down of opportunities that Republicans prefer to use to vote by mail. CTCL, through the years, has been reaching out and establishing consultants. They consult on how to manage an election. Now, in about April or May, they start reaching out and recruiting Democrat cities saying, we want you to apply to us for a lot of money. And they don't have that money yet. There's no evidence they have the money yet, but somebody told them the money is coming. So they get these Democrat mayors to recruit other Democrat cities based on two factors. One is overwhelming Democrat voters. So they want to turn out Democrat cities to vote in the presidential election. The other is what's called an undervote. That's where Hillary Clinton, Obama received 400,000 votes. Hillary Clinton received 300,000. So they're thinking they can grab that difference and turn it to Biden. So they are very strategic. And they go out and they start recruiting these cities. They give these cities money to apply for money from them, which they don't have yet. So here's $10,000 and we'll help you put together a grant. And then we're going to give you a lot of money. It's coming. On September 2nd, Mark Zuckerberg announces $250 million to the Center for Tech and Civic Life. He also gives $50 million to a group called the Center for Election Innovation and Research, CEIR. They're involved in the software that runs our poll books. So they have access to the poll books. It would allow a hack from within, not a hack from without. So now we've got $300 million of Zuckerberg money. 10 days later, he adds another $100 million. So $400 million that we know of thus far. Now, that money actually matches the federal appropriation for running the election during the pandemic. So here's how he uses this money. He gives it to cities, and I'm going to take you into Philadelphia as an example. We obtained documents that were ordered to be produced by a federal judge in Pennsylvania. They wouldn't give us this information. But the judge said, the city, you have to share with Mr. Klein and his group all your communications with this charity funded by Zuckerberg. Here's what it says. Philadelphia, you must have 800 polling places. They had 190 in the primary, so an increase of 610. Now, he's claiming he's doing this to make elections safe, but he's creating additional opportunities to vote to turn out the vote. You must have this many Zucker boxes, drop boxes. We're going to pay the election officials. We're going to pay the election judges, the people who determine what ballots are counted and determine the count. We will buy the machines that count the votes. And you must do every step of this or we're going to take our money back. He's running local elections. So they do this in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and I'll give you an example of Delaware County. That's just south of Philadelphia. Strong Democrat stronghold. There is a Zucker box or a drop box, Charlie, every 4 square miles. That's 2 miles by 2 miles. That's a drop box within a walking distance of every home. In the 59 counties that Trump won, there's a drop box for every 1,100 square miles. Drop box in Democrat territory, every 4,000 voters. Trump country, every 72,000 voters. So they shut down in-person polling, except in the urban core. And then they told Republicans in Republican areas, if you want to vote, go on a Where's Waldo to find a drop box in 1,100 square miles. If you're a Democrat, step out the door. We'll pick up the ballot for you. That's a two-tier election system that violates equal protection. That's just a sampling of what we're seeing.
So this is very stunning. I'm surprised that no one else is talking about this. We did know about the Center for Tech and Civic Life. What I am trying to process, though, is you're trying to say that this was constructed well before Zuckerberg made that commitment, that they had this all in all this infrastructure in place and in play, and this aligned perfectly with the mail-in balloting push that allowed a lot of this to be made possible. On the Center for Tech and Civic Life, on their website, they say their partners are Google, Facebook, the Center for Civic Design, Rock the Vote, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, the Knight Foundation, the Democracy Fund, the Voting Information Project, and the Women Donors Network, all of which are very far left-wing funding mechanisms and organizations. So is it legal to have big tech companies fund charitably, which is a tax deduction for them, in our elections? Are there any laws against this?
Well, we believe that there are. First of all, you can't privatize the election. You can't have the election judges paid for by Google. You know, it is a fundamental government responsibility to do elections. And the Constitution provides that responsibility directly to state legislatures who determine the time, place, and manner of elections. Also, Congress has say in federal elections, and they all have laws that were violated in the flow and use of these monies and in the method of conducting the elections. So we clearly believe it's not legal. The challenge with election law and challenging elections is to bring it to court, you have to prove harm. And you can't prove the harm until after the election is done. And then the laws give you a very short time frame. You know, in the past, what we've talked about in this country, when the laws were written, Charlie, they were written for us looking at ballots and we challenged the count and say, you know what? You counted a ballot that shouldn't be counted. Now we've got counting that can't be seen. The windows were boarded up and we use machines. I can't see in a machine. I can look at a computer, but I can't tell how it's counting something. I need the computer logs to know that it's doing it correctly and to know that it hasn't been messed with. But they won't provide the logs. They won't let us in the door. What you're seeing here is what happens in third world countries where they say, look, don't worry about it. You can stand outside the door. There's no fraud going on in here. Trust me. That's not how American elections have worked. They've been transparent in the past. All of us are at the counting table. We get to see and judge for ourselves whether it's done fairly. And if there's one thing that I believe that your viewers will know about this election, they weren't able to see it. That should be alarm bell number one. Alarm bell number two is only one group of people were able to see it in these swing states in the urban core, and that's Democrats paid for by Zuckerberg. That's alarm bell number three. Alarm bell, the third one is whether they had access to be able to generate and infuse false information into the system. And the answer is yes. Rock the Vote has a special contract where they're able to access government data and actually enter voter registrations. Now, I'm going to give you an example, and I really appreciate the time to explain this, because they're betting that we won't get the time to explain it, and they can just shout us out by saying, where's the proof? Where's the proof? Where's the proof? Well, there is substantial proof. This is an affidavit by a woman who teaches at Liberty University School of Law, one of my colleagues. She was born with a specific name that her parents called her by a nickname as she grew up, so she changed her name. So she has a different first name. She left Michigan, got married, and she has a different last name. But as this election takes place, she decides, I better check and see if I'm registered back in Michigan for any reason and whether I voted. And she found that she is registered under her birth name and married name, and she never registered to vote under her birth name and her maiden name. Now, how could that happen? It's allowing third-party access to our voter rolls, and then I can purchase out here all the information I need about you, Charlie, so I know whether you've had a name change, whether you've moved, whether you've ever voted in your home state, what your address was, what your social security number is, what your phone number is. I can get all that data and I can create a registration for you that you're likely never to check. Because why do that? You know where you're registered and who does that? But we are getting hundreds of these issues. People who didn't register suddenly being registered. Well, actually, it's hundreds of thousands of problems here. And that's what our experts are saying in our litigation. People who hadn't voted, who suddenly show up as voting. People who sent in an absentee ballot, but it was not counted. We're building all of that evidence. So number three is that they were able to see it because they had access and we didn't. So you can't count what you can't see. We got kicked out of the counting room. They were brought in. You can't steal what you can't find. So they were brought in and they understand now how to steal it because they have access to data that we do not. You can't buy what you can't afford. That's Mark Zuckerberg's money. He helped afford this so it would happen. And then the last one is that I want to mention is you can't promise what you can't deliver. And that means that they had to infuse these ballots into the process. And they did it by using the flow of ballots from Zucker boxes, the drop boxes. Where are the logs of who had access? Who had the keys? When were the ballots picked up? Did the trucks take a side route? And you have to understand these ballots are printed privately. It's private companies that print these ballots. So the technology and the ability to print these ballots is known to these groups. So it's very easy to infuse fraudulent ballots into the system that they created.
I have so many questions about this, and mostly how is there not a federal investigation from the FBI into this is just stunning to me.
Well, we don't know if there's not. They wouldn't necessarily speak about it if there was.
This holiday season, more people will be mailing stuff than ever before. That means the post office is going to be busy. You don't have time for that. Stamps.com brings the post office and now UPS shipping right to your computer. Mail and ship anything from the convenience of your home or office. With Stamps.com, anything you can do at the post office, you can do in just a few clicks. Plus, Stamps.com saves you money with deep discounts that you can't even get at the post office. Stamps.com brings you the service of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. Stamps.com is a must-have for any business, whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller fulfilling orders during this record-setting holiday season, or even a giant warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. With Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and 40% off priority mail and 62% off UPS shipping rates. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder why over 900,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. We use Stamps.com and you should too. Stamps.com is terrific. So don't spend a minute of your Christmas season at the post office this year. Sign up for Stamps.com instead. There's no risk. With my promo code KIRK, K-I-R-K, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in KIRK, K-I-R-K. That's Stamps.com. Enter KIRK, Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Just to make sure I'm getting this correctly, there is a collection of nonprofits that were founded mysteriously 8 years ago that were not very well funded. These nonprofits then start to kind of emerge towards the surface over the summer, start to make promises to local cities or ask these cities in Democrat areas in particular, start applying for grants, but despite not having the funding, Zuckerberg then says, here's $250 million to this Center for Tech and Civic Life. And then they start distributing the money to these cities to administer the mail-in ballot scheme. And so they say this on their website. The Center for Tech and Civic Life has been thrilled to expand our COVID-19 response grant program to all U.S. local election jurisdictions, backed by a generous $250 million contribution. CTCL received grant applications from over 2,500 local election jurisdictions across the country to help ensure they have the staffing, training, and equipment necessary so this November, every eligible voter can participate in a safe and timely way and have their vote counted. So if I was CTCL's attorney, which I'm not, and I'm not an attorney, any challenge that I would say would be put against us, they say, we're a nonpartisan group. We are just helping administer not very well-resourced election departments because of the pandemic. We're supplementing. We're a charity. You should be thanking us, not accusing us. Why is there more to the story than that?
Well, there's a lot more. And first of all, the total is up to $350 million now. And the reason it's a lot more is they didn't do it on their own. They bought government offices and told them how to manage the elections. And you can't have government putting a thumb on the scale of the election, and you can't have them beholden to private interests in managing the election. And also, their design is real clear. Although they need to provide more information, Charlie. If it was government, we'd have freedom of information requests. You'd be able to see their books. You'd be able to see why they made the decisions. But I'll give you a couple of examples here. We traced their top 20 grants in dollars. It was over $75 million, $75 million. And $289,000 went to a city that Donald Trump won in 2016. The rest of it, I don't know what that percentage is, $75 million minus $289,000 went to Democrat strongholds. So, and also remember, they seeded the money. They put the money into Democrat areas to recruit Democrat cities. Early money is worth a lot more than money in October because you can't infuse it, you can't plan for it, you can't use it. And so as they started getting pressure from us, we started to reveal their hand. They put out a few grants here and there to Republican areas to try to make it look bipartisan. I'll give you an example of their arguments. Pennsylvania. We sued them in Pennsylvania. They said, look, we gave to more Republican counties than Clinton counties. Well, that is factually correct. President Trump won 59 counties in Pennsylvania in 2016, and they gave to 13 of those counties. That's about 20%. Clinton won 8 counties in Pennsylvania, and they gave substantially more monies to every one of those counties. 100% Clinton, 20% Trump. So here's the issue. $400 million shadow government. Do Americans have a right to know about the communications, how the plan came out and what happened? Absolutely. So open up your books. Mark Zuckerberg opened up the door. We want to see all the communication. We want to see how you made your decisions. We have a right to see it because you made government carry your water for you. And if it was government doing it, we'd have a right to open their books. We'd have a right to have hearings. We'd have a right to know why they made the decisions they made. But because he funneled it, he laundered it through a charity, they're claiming, no, we don't have to show a thing to you.
Well, and one of the main reasons I think the tech companies and the data companies did this is they were trying to atone for their guilt that they felt in 2016 for not adequately stopping Donald Trump and the punishment that they've had to endure from all of their friends in Menlo Park and in Silicon Valley who have been saying, how dare you not get involved in this? And so it makes a lot of sense, this sudden cash infusion towards the end. So what are the remedies for this? Because I hope everyone is hearing this clearly, how creepy this is. This is a oligarchy of tech billionaires, not just billionaires. It would be bad enough if they were billionaires. These are 11-figure net worths, okay? This is more than just having $1 billion. Zuckerberg is worth $110 billion, okay? That's the combined GDP of Eastern European countries. And so he unchecked is able to put this money through the Center for Tech and Civic Life, through this other one, the Center for Election and Innovation and Research. He bragged that he got 4 million people registered to vote through this push. What is the remedy for this?
Well, I'll tell you what, we need all of America to wake up to it and in perspective. And you did a great job of explaining it, Charlie. Let me just add this point. 65% of Americans get their news from podcasts like yours and social media. And if you want to control a country, If you want to really manage a country, you have to choke off or have the authority to control the flow of information, right? So we see big tech censorship. And you also have to control the way they elect their leaders. Those are two things that you have to get if you're wanting control of a nation. And guess what we've seen in an unprecedented fashion over the last couple of years? I am shocked that we have people like Mark Zuckerberg and others who are in the business of the flow of information telling us, like Twitter and those, that we can't be trusted to figure out the truth. They need to filter it first. Don't worry. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing. It's fair. Trust us. And now we've got an election where they shut down our ability to access it. And they say, don't worry about it. Everything's fine. Trust us. I'm sorry. That does not work in a federal republic and a democratic system. The free flow of information and the transparency of elections are the cornerstones of the power of the people. And they have stolen it from us this election. And that should concern every American.
And I'm afraid that they're going to get away with it. And there's many other questions I have. I like that you're focusing on the Center for Tech and Civic Life. I like it because no one else is talking about it. And I could go through the absentee issues and all this, but this seems to be one of the few things that were different in our election. This particular actor, would you agree? Because the mail-in balloting issue is very important. There were 240,000 ballots in Georgia in 2016, well over 1.3 million this cycle. That's a tenfold increase. What you're saying, though, is that this tech oligarchy had an agenda. They executed it. It was against any form of federal election law. And if you dare ask questions about it, they shut you down almost instantaneously and immediately. So what pending legal action do you have against these groups? What do you have that's working its way through the courts that could possibly fix this?
Well, we have suits in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. We have also suits that won't fix this election, but we have them in Texas and Iowa regarding the use of monies. We have Michigan. My goodness, we're getting ready to file in Arizona and Nevada and Georgia as it relates to all of these election irregularities and Zuckerberg's influence on the election. And I will tell you this, Charlie, I hope to have the opportunity to continue working with you and others. We don't intend to stop. If we can't bring the truth about this election out in time to impact this election, it's too important of an issue to stop with. So we continue. And we'll continue to investigate and bring information to light.
So what entity is suing whom, and what is the complaint?
What we have done is we've created and worked with grassroots organizations. So we work with voters out there. We have the Election Integrity Fund in Michigan, the Pennsylvania Voters Alliance, the Wisconsin Voters Alliance, Minnesota Voters Alliance. And we work with them and bring suits in those individuals' names. The remedy is a violation of equal protection and invalidating the election in some of these cities and states. That's the legal remedy we're seeking. It varies. For example, we're going to be filing in Michigan, where we can go straight to the Michigan Supreme Court and ask them to seize the ballots and stop the count. I don't know if we'll be successful, but that remedy will allow a full-scale audit and investigation. We have varying remedies depending upon the state, and we're filing in federal court and state court to try to maximize our opportunity to avail ourselves of those various remedies.
When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and more. And we all know that HR manager salaries are never cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, there are no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance? Let Bambi help and get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Kirk. Spell BAM to the BE.com/Kirk. And it seems as if the sequence of lawsuits you guys are going through very well might, you know, prove to be successful. But if it is a violation of equal protection, wouldn't that be better suited for the Department of Justice under the Civil Rights Division to be looking at? I mean, this is not an insignificant sum. It's not like it was $2 million here. I mean, $250 million is an extraordinary amount of money. You said $350 million total for to be involved or influencing in an election. How – maybe you said they are looking into it and we're not aware of it. But how is the DOJ not on top of this to the best of our knowledge?
I don't know if they're involved. We've been trying to bring it to the attention of those on Capitol Hill so that they will be aware of it. It's hard in this noisy culture to get people to give you more than – well, you've been gracious with your time, and I know how busy you are to be able to explain it. We're trying to get people to focus on this. I think we need to start talking about a billionaire in the counting room in America kicked out. If we start raising our voice to that extent, and I'll get you, Charlie, I'll get you the Philadelphia information that you can share with your viewers and those who listen to you if you desire. We need to rise up. You know, the strength of America is we get what we want. The weakness of America is we get what we want. And so we have to let them know we don't want what just happened. And we want a fair, transparent election that billionaires don't buy for people.
Yeah, that would seem something that the left used to care about, right? That used to be something that Democrats would traditionally make a big fuss about, that really powerful people could get involved in elections. That was their argument against the Koch brothers and against billionaire donors, despite their own billionaire donors being ignored, like Soros and others. I want you to explain why this is different than other political contributions and campaigns, because this is more than just a $250 million super PAC. We're talking about actually getting involved in the machinery of the vote counting and tabulation. It was a very carefully crafted hot wire almost. So can you explain how it would be different than if Mark Zuckerberg wrote a $250 million check for a super PAC? What makes this more pernicious and different than anything we've seen in electoral history?
Sure. You know, it's the cause of justice. And justice, we have judges who are supposed to be objective as they hear cases and not have private interests dictating the result. That's a cornerstone of our judicial system and also protection of our individual liberties. So this is similar to that. In fact, many of the officials who were paid by Zuckerberg are called election judges. They're supposed to be objective. So imagine if you would, I want to give you two analogies. Imagine if a judge, a criminal judge, was paid by the conviction. Well, you certainly don't want to get in front of that judge. Or imagine if in our civil litigation, the judges, before the lawsuit was heard, could say, okay, I'm opening it up for bidding. I would like to do all of this, and I need some funds. Please provide your funds, and I'll close it down before I hear the case. It's government in what is supposed to be an objective role, and he's purchasing those government officials. That's what this is. He could have started his own charity, and he could have started his own voter turnout, like the League of Women Voters, and taken persons' applications, turned them over to the state to enter them into the database. But no, he bought the Secretary of State. And that's the primary difference, and that is what makes this so pernicious. Additionally, campaign finance and super PACs can't coordinate. They have to spend their money independently of any candidate. But here, he's coordinating directly with government officials who have a partisan interest. That is a problem, and there's no limits on his funding. One more thing. He's acting like a government, but he's keeping his books closed. He's acting like a government, but he doesn't answer questions. We have as a cornerstone transparency in government, the right to demand answers, public hearings, because we need to hold government politically accountable. There's no political accountability for the Center for Tech and Civic Life, and absolutely none for Mark Zuckerberg. That's why this is so cancerous to the integrity of our election.
And it's also one of the greatest intrusions in the electoral process that we've ever seen from very, very powerful people. In closing, can you give us just some understanding of what else you're seeing on the landscape? You're the former Attorney General of Kansas, is that correct?
Yes.
So you've overseen plenty of instances of criminal complaints and behavior. Outside of just the Center for Tech and Civic Life, what other complaints do you see being made by the president that could potentially reverse this election? Because we know that voter fraud exists. We know when 160 million people participate in something, people are going to cut corners and cheat, especially when the prize is a $4 trillion government. We have examples of developmentally disabled people that were being forced to vote for Joe Biden, the Nevada Native Project of gas cards for ballots. I could go on. We've done this many times on our podcast. What else are you seeing that is compelling to make the case that this election was stolen?
Well, and let me first issue support for what you're doing and a warning. One of the challenges, because the evidence is clear that we have, is the deconstruction of truth and deconstruction of our culture. When I can go to court and the law says when these counting boards are five people around the table that a Republican must be in the place and sign off it was done validly, and the Democrats are able to create a place that is two football fields long, put 134 tables in it like they did Detroit, have only Democrats around the table casting ballots for third parties and say they complied with the law because the Republican is in the place, which is way up in the cheap seats where you can't see what's going on. And the judge says, you know what? That's what that means. That's okay. And we fail to see the purpose of the law is to allow people to see to make sure it's truthful. We don't have truth in our culture anymore. And we don't have law because the rule of law requires an understanding of the definition of words and the purpose of the law. And when we deconstruct to this amount, we are a lawless nation. So what I have seen is one of the most lawless elections, if not the most lawless in United States history. And we have several avenues moving forward, several pieces of evidence. It's primarily how they treated voters in Republican core areas different than voters in Democrat areas. That evidence is strengthening by the moment. If we can pull it together, collect it, and get it before the United States Supreme Court, I think we've got a winner. But really, the odds are against us because of the time frame and the way they've covered their tracks. And America's not asking the right questions. Those are our challenges. We've got several pieces of litigation. We're hopeful. But I don't think Vegas is betting on us right now.
Well, we're behind you, and I just want to thank you for what you're uncovering with this Center for Civic Life. Something needs to change here. And we've been long warning on this program how there's going to be a corporate takeover of our country. And we as conservatives have been worshiping corporate America for so many years, thinking they're on our team. And the moment that they see the power that they've always desired, they'll turn their back on conservatism and they're going to try to rule the country in some sort of feudal state, medieval style oligarchy. And now you see that through this. And conservatives better wake up because these data companies and the surveillance capitalist model, they are not on our side. And now they want to corrupt everything as powerful people usually do. Thank you so much, Phil Klein, for this. How can people support you or follow what you're doing?
Thank you, Charlie. www.got-freedom.com. Got-freedom.com.
Well, thank you so much. Keep up the great work, and we'll speak to you soon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Deeply appreciate it. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to join us in Palm Beach, 5,000 of our closest friends, top speakers all across the movement, go to tpusa.com/SAS. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless. Speak to you soon.